The Reverend D. James Kennedy, a televangelist and powerful figure within the Christian right, died yesterday of complications from an earlier heart attack. He was 76. Kennedy was the pastor of a Florida megachurch. His radio and TV programs were carried in approximately 200 countries. Kennedy founded the Center for Christian Statesmanship, which offered Bible studies to members of Congress and their staffers. His group, the Center for Reclaiming America, was created with the goal of reclaiming America for Christ. Kennedy said, "It is a myth that our country was founded on the principle of separation of church and state. America was founded upon Christ and his word." He despaired that this foundation was crumbling in our time. He was active in what he described as the key fronts of the culture wars. This included opposing the teaching of evolution. I spoke with Kennedy in 2005. You run the Center for Reclaiming America, and you also run an annual conference called Reclaiming America for Christ.
That's right.
And you've described your goal as Reclaiming America for Christ. What does that mean?
Well, John Jay, whom, as you know, was the first Chief Justice of the first Supreme Court, and, of course, one of the three men that wrote the Federalist Papers that sold the Constitution to America, and one of the chief of the Founding Fathers, he put it this way. He said that God in his providence has given to us a Christian nation, and it behooves us as Christians to prefer and select Christians to rule over us. Well, that was the Christian perspective of most of the founders in the beginning of this country. And therefore, we believe that the Christian view of morality and life is the one that should prevail in America.
Well, in terms of how what you would like to see, would, if you want to reclaim America for Christ, does that mean that the people who sit in our courts, the judges, our politicians, the people in Congress, our president, should they be Christians? And should they be Christians as opposed to Jews or Buddhists or Muslims or people who are secular?
Well, let's be open about this. We have people who are secular and humanists and unbelievers who are constantly supporting in every way possible other people who share those views. And I don't object to that. That's their privilege. And I think that Christians should be allowed the same privilege to vote for people whom they believe share their views about life and government, and that's all that I'm talking about.
Have you thought about how the expression Reclaiming America for Christ sounds to Jews, to Muslims, Buddhists, Sikhs, Hindus, people who are secular, not to mention to Christians who interpret the Bible differently than you do?
Unfortunately, historically, the Christian foundation of America has been expurgated from all of our textbooks in our schools. And so the average American today, having come through our public schools, knows nothing about it. But I would say that certainly it seems to me that when I talk to people who are secularists or skeptics or atheists, and they are supporting people who have those views, I don't say to them, you know, how dare you support someone that agrees with you? I mean, that's what all Americans do.
You run something, a conference every year that's called Reclaiming America for Christ. What is the goal of the conference? How many people come? What are its political goals and its spiritual goals?
The purpose of the conference of Reclaiming America for Christ is the same as for the center, and that is to try to help Christians realize that they have a responsibility to their culture. If you go back 20 years ago, a study showed that half the Christians in this country were not even registered to vote, and that of those that were registered, half of them didn't vote. And trying to show them that as Christians, we have a responsibility to try to bring to light in a community the teachings of God. God has things to say not only about church and family and individual lives, but he has things to say about education and about government and about arts and about everything else. So therefore, we should, as Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So Christ would like to bring to bear his teachings. Now, when we have turned our back on those teachings, we have had court rulings for pornography and obscenity and abortion and partial birth abortion and sodomy and gay marriage and on and on and on it goes, that have brought in the minds of the majority of Americans a great deal of suffering and woe to this country.
What are some of the typical dilemmas that you think Christian politicians face in terms of following their faith and doing their job in public office? Let me give you like the classic example that is often asked about in this context. If you are a Christian judge and a case comes before you about, for instance, abortion, and abortion is legal in our country and legal in the state that the judge is in, does the judge follow his conscience as a Christian if he is a Christian that subscribes to your interpretation of Christianity, or does he uphold the law?
Well, let me give you an analogy, if I may. In Nazi Germany, it was legal, according to the High Court of Germany, that Jews were not persons and they had no rights, and therefore it was perfectly legal to kill them. Now, if you, I'm sure, believe that human beings have rights and that Jews have rights, if you were a judge in that situation and you were there bringing some people that they want to take and kill, and that's the law, which side would you come down on that dilemma? A politician would say, it's the law, kill them. A statesman would say, it's not right, and therefore I will not approve of it. And in Nuremberg, in the trials after the Second World War, the Nazi attorneys were very smart, and they threw the Allied attorneys for about a 90-yard loss when they began to condemn the Nazis for all of these people, the Jews and so on, that they had killed and all the other things that they had done. And they said to them, all of these things that we have done were legal according to the laws of Germany, Nazi Germany. And here you come here, strangers and aliens from outside our country, trying to impose your views upon our nation. And since we have taught in our own colleges over here that morals and mores are and laws are relativistic and change with the society, we've been teaching that for 40, 50 years in America, or longer than that, actually. How can you do that? And our lawyers didn't know what to do because the Nazi lawyers were right. That's what we had been teaching, and we were violating our own principles, which principles I believe were wrong. And so now you apply that same thing in the situation you described, and I think you'll get the answer.
The Reverend D. James Kennedy recorded in 2005. He died yesterday at the age of 76. You can download podcasts of our show by going to our website, freshair.npr.org.